second hour of a Friday afternoon, Patriots Friday afternoon here on WEEI Afternoons. That was Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo talking about his wide receiver room, the group that has been much maligned, much criticized, couldn't catch the football for much of last Sunday afternoon's game. But in the end, Kayshon Boutte made a couple plays that helped them win the game. But if you believe Gerard Mayo, and he is supposedly very transparent,
has he walked it back yet, Andy?
Oh, Fitzgerald, that's a cheap shot.
No, it's, well, sort of.
No,
I'm just having fun with the reputation. I'm having fun with the reputation that he has earned by walking it half of what he says back.
It is kind of what he does, but hopefully he'll turn a corner. Like he says, maybe his wide receivers have turned a corner in terms of catching the football. It would be a great thing if it were true that on the practice field this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there were not a lot of balls hitting the ground. Mm-hmm. And then it would be great if that made its way to Sunday afternoon in Tennessee. It would be even better if it's Drake May throwing the football. But we saw, and one of the big talking points, I think, in the victory was the disappointment that Kayshon Boutte had, even in himself, that he dropped so many balls before he made some plays. We know that Tyquan Thornton had a huge drop early on one of the more athletic, elite throws you'll see from Drake May.
That is a shame. That one, Ante, that supplanted the preseason 50-yard dime that he just flipped to Javon Baker he dropped down the middle.
This was a much harder throw, much harder, because it was covered. And I almost wanted to edit it and just use it anyway and pretend it happened. Like, cut it away right before you see the ball bounce off Thornton's chest. So people just, like, you know, do one of those fancy edits, add some music or something. And they're like, wow, what a throw. No one needs to know that he didn't actually catch the ball. The quarterback did his part of the job. Do you believe this wide receiver core could be ready to turn a corner? And I think this is an interesting week to do it. Not just because it's a winnable football game, not just because Drake May could be returning to the field, hopefully we find out sooner rather than later, but also the apple of the Patriots' offseason eye at the wide receiver position will be in the stadium, I guess. Maybe not on the field because he didn't practice today, but Calvin Ridley. Mm-hmm. There's going to be those comparisons forever. What's Calvin Ridley doing? Should you have signed him? Was that a unanswered prayer, as Garth Brooks would say, that you didn't blow $90 million on him?
He looked pretty good last week, though.
Yeah, last week. He's had a bad year. He's had like 1.5 good games, basically. The bulk of his targets and catches came last week after they unloaded D-Hop working with Mason Rudolph. So it's interesting that he may not be able to play, but he was a guy that maybe was starting to pick up steam. I would have honestly liked to have just seen Christian Gonzalez match up with Calvin Ridley on Sunday, shut him down, and then have one of your guys go off for like 7 and 110 and a touchdown.
Now it's going to be Christian Gonzalez against Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Yeah, I mean, for him, it's like, what a letdown. It feels like every week he's been going against an elite receiver.
But don't let it be a letdown game then. This is, okay, any which way you and I want to analyze this, we can posture it as a different kind of test for the team. You could have, if it's Drake May, it's Drake May, great. And he's going up against a team that has an elite secondary when healthy, but now if you've got Amani Hooker potentially out with the groin issue, if you have Snead not showing up at practice and him potentially out once again as well, now this elite secondary becomes kind of mid at best. So it could be a good bounce back or get right game for the Patriots passing attack and the wide receivers that had a viral case of the dropsies last week. Now, if you're saying that it almost might be too easy in a lot of ways, like who's Gonzo going to cover? Westbrook, Ikhine? They don't have anyone else to worry
about.
Should
I not be that cocky?
I wouldn't. No, because this team is not good enough.
For a two-win team?
This team is not good enough. No two-win team is good enough for us to be that cocky or arrogant about. No. Like this, it could turn into, it could go from a, hey, let's see who wins the garbage fight between the 1-6 team and the 2-6 team to, hey, the Patriots have no business being 3.5-point dogs in this game. Don't fall into the trap. Get out there and get the job done and prove that you're a team on the rise as opposed to a team on the bottom.
And I would say that exact speech to each and every one of the wide receivers, that you are a player on the rise, that you get out there and actually contribute to victory. Hey, and don't just do it for one catch here, one catch there. Can somebody find some consistency? I don't really care who it is. I don't care if it's Pop Douglas. I don't care if it's Kendrick Bourne, the veteran who was very down on himself for a pretty lowly performance last week, getting in on the drop parade. And I did find it interesting. Alex Van Pelt was just like, you guys have been receivers your whole lives. Like, this is what you do. This shouldn't be an issue. And I know the yips are a thing. The same can be said for a second baseman, Chuck Knobloch, or Rick Ankiel when he couldn't throw anymore.
Yeah, but that's
to the
like
plate.
One guy. What's the whole room doing with the yips?
Yeah, something in the water? What are they doing in the water down there?
That's not how it works. That's not how it works.
Bad candy? Maybe they got some bad sushi, bad shakes in the Patriots shake room? I don't know. I don't have an explanation for it. Now, they're all mid-level, but you're right. For all mid-level players to underperform is unfortunate. But the reality is they did underperform. If you believe their head coach, they're ready to bounce back, and I hope they bounce back with Drake May. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. For everybody's favorite, maybe Hall of Fame caller, a guy we found out yesterday through the text line and through other callers, is really not as old as he sounds, A, and a really nice man, B. Steve from Fall River is on with WEI Afternoons.
I don't know where you guys were smoking yesterday. I don't sound great. I don't have magical pipes, but I do not sound like a 78-year-old man. That is a fact.
Agreed.
And you have to be on crack if you think I do.
Wow, that's
you theorized I was 78 yesterday. I'm not even collecting Social Security yet.
Well, you sound old. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
Well, I know. I was 22 years old, and they were on the phone talking to people. And they thought I was 40 years old. So I've always sounded old.
Okay.
So plus
because
20.
Because I'm mature beyond my years. I have all this wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
Now I want to tell you something. I do want to talk about Drake May, but quickly, Fritzy, put this Parcells to the Parcells transition away, because Pete Carroll was inherited a team that was the second youngest in the league, only to the Indianapolis Colts, coming off a Super Bowl win. That was the problem there. They needed the type of coach that Bill Parcells was. They needed the parent. Drew Bledsoe's out at a mosh pit. Everybody's having their fun. Pete Carroll's late to meetings. I mean, just completely the wrong type of coach. Is that really what the problem is with the Bruins? You just were taking everybody off. Mosh pit. No, they're not a young team. They didn't want the coach that has a short shelf life, we understand, is the Hardo. The Mike Keenans of the world, the Claude Julien's, the last guy. Those are the guys that have the short shelf life, not the players' coach. So it's not exactly – I don't think it's that. I wouldn't fire him in the beginning of the year. It's too early. It's early, early, early. Just look at his coach of the year thing. It was absurd when they were running ahead. It only matters how you finish the season. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing headed into the playoffs. So leave it the way it is.
All right. About before we let Drake you go, Steve, May, real quick on Drake May, what do you got?
You cannot play him because you cannot have another tour. What we know about the protocol is they don't measure the grade of concussions, probably because they don't want us to know, but we clearly know the whole world, the neurological world does it 0 to 4. You and I, everyone saw it. They hit. Put the hits in 0 to 4. The hit was a crazy. He got a 0 hit. If his 4 is a big hit. And guess what? He's not out of the protocol yet. What are you going to do? Win a game? What's this game you want to win versus having this guy remotely have a chance to get another concussion, which
That's
everyone will
what
tell
I was
you
thinking.
Will leave him more susceptible down the line to more concussions when they happen close in succession.
Sure. All right. Thanks for the call, Steve.
I did not think I would be walking the same side of the street as Steve from Fall River.
Well, whenever I'm confused, I just check my underwear.
We want Matlock.
Would you like to reevaluate your position?
I am more comfortable in my take than ever. The text line is behind me. More of the callers than not are behind me. On the side of caution, Andy. We are in it for the long game.
Don't play him the rest of the year. That's the best way to make sure he doesn't get hurt.
Oh, listen to you. Oh, this is so football.
Where's the line?
So football.
Where's the line? Where's the line exactly?
It's a recent injury. Do you not think? I can't guarantee that his gray matter is going to heal entirely. But
I don't know that his gray matter is broken.
It probably is more susceptible to injury or re-injuring coming fresh off of it.
Who told you that? Your neurological friend?
Spell it.
No chance. No chance.
Yes, smartass.
That's where I just fall back on you have experts for a reason. in all walk. It's kind of my opposite argument of the Matt Patricia hire. When I was so angry that they hired Matt Patricia to run the offense, I'm like, there's experts for a reason. People work their whole lives to become experts and have all that knowledge.
Hey, right? Hey, my buddy fixes cars. He probably can fix the toilet.
Right. No.
He knows how things work.
Does he have a buddy who's a plumber?
That's not how it works. Look, this all may be a moot point as well, because he's still limited on Friday, perhaps.
But that doesn't matter. They're going through
the
process.
They may not clear. Yes, exactly.
No, but it's not a time.
It could have already been cleared.
Thing.
Yeah.
But you got to go day by day. Some of it is.
I thought it was step by step.
But each step is day by day. I feel like we're doing TV shows.
I was going to say, this is now just like Friday. Is this like TGI Friday on ABC?
But some of them are you have to work out and then recover the next day. That's part of the evaluation. How did you respond to your elevated heart rate and the sweat and the different things? That's part of the process. So you can't, it's not like, oh, it's a really mild concussion, he should be able to go through it all on Monday. No. There's hurdles that take multiple steps over multiple days to go through the process. So I still continue to feel and get nothing but positive vibes out of Foxborough and out of Gillette into terms of how this is trending. But good news is, you don't just have to listen to me or Tom Curran or many of the other people that feel like it's trending positively. We're going to have an expert in the area, a big-brained guy. I don't think he's a neurologist, but he's big brain. Mike Giardi, one of the favorite friends of this program, as well as the Six Rings podcast, will be joining us just after an award-winning Stizzard of Oz trending right now.